Sir.
Once again, in our not wrestling podcast, we are going to talk about wrestling. Surprisingly, we're not going to talk about the thing that everyone is talking about, which is Sting's retirement match, which apparently was amazing. But we're going to talk about the passing of Virgil, which happened like, you know, the week before. Funny, there's a funny little anecdote. So apparently Virgil told everybody that his birthday was June 13th, 1962, but in actually it was April 7th, 1951. So when he initially passed, everybody was saying that like he passed at age 62 or 61, but he was actually 72. So like Virgil, one last swerve for the fans.
Well, to be honest with you, that just shows how clever he was in the sense of knowing that if he was too old to be in wrestling,
yeah,
they'd have drummed him out.
Yeah.
And he ignored the idea and just went, yeah, 10 years younger.
And fuck all y'all.
Right.
You have one of my favorite Virgil stories. I remember seeing Virgil on the con circuit before a lot of the other wrestlers on the con circuit. Like, I saw him at like this random sci-fi show, like at Dulles, the Dulles airport or Dulles, some sort of like convention center out in Dulles. And I thought I was way too intimidated to go up to him because it's fucking Virgil, right?
That is my favorite part about your perspective of this.
Yeah.
Is literally one of the nicest people I have ever met, not only at a convention, but also as a pro wrestler, shy of our own personal favorite, Keith Youngblood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The kindest wrestler I've ever met.
Yeah.
Like, just could not be more open and inviting. So the idea of you being intimidated by Virgil is something that just anecdotally I fucking love the shit out of. Like, it's just so good. Anyway, sorry.
He was the first one I saw on the scene, and I was like, this kind of makes sense because wrestlers have a short lifespan. There's no like healthcare. There's nothing to support them afterwards. So like, yeah, if they're in between gigs or if they get injured, what are they going to do? And I think Virgil was one of the first to recognize that, hey, there's a growing con circuit. Maybe I can get mine going around to these shows. Smaller, big, whatever the fuck, you know.
Better or for worse, Virgil was never shy of an appearance. And for those of you who might think they know Virgil or don't know Virgil, you want to Google wrestling superstar Virgil and do image search. Because that basically became the meme, is his empty table with his very straightforward banner and him sitting there just waiting for somebody to talk to him and for him to sign a photo or anything else that you would ask of him. Mm-hmm. So he kind of became meme culture as well, especially for con nerds, because you could see him at things.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people have spoofed it and everything else like that. It's funny, though, because like I think your favorite Virgil story is not my favorite Virgil personal story, because I have a second one.
Oh, OK.
So when I was, God, what would I have been? 19, maybe. Virgil was doing a signing at White Marsh Mall.
Wow.
Just now, here's the thing. I didn't know this. So me and a couple friends just went to the mall and we're walking about the mall and literally like right at the end of the food court where if any of you hear the dulcet tones of my voice and have been to the White Marsh Mall, literally right where the elevator meets the tail end of the food court, where it opens up to the center of the mall, to the, I guess it would be the right/stage left of the elevator was the infamous table, and Virgil was there, and I was awestruck, and he didn't have anyone talking to him, and
oh,
I walked up, and I was like, Virgil, And he's like, hey, man, how's it going? And like shook my hand. And I didn't really know what to do or say. So I awkwardly was like, hey, can I get you an Orange Julius? Because the Orange Julius was literally like directly behind me. And he looked at me very funny. And I was like, I'm getting an Orange Julius. What do you want from Orange Julius? And he laughed. And I can't for the life of me remember his order. But he was like, I'm not going to tell you no, but please don't feel like you have to. And I bought Virgil an Orange Julius.
Oh, my God.
And I walked it over and I gave it to him. And I didn't have a ton of cash on me. And I didn't feel comfortable getting something signed at that point.
Yeah.
And I this is like fucking pre-selfie sort of thing or anything else that. Yeah. So like there was just the memory of it. But I thanked him for helping make my childhood rad, and that I really appreciated all of his effort in wrestling. And I might stop by and see if I can go buy a photo. And he's like, don't worry about it, man. I really appreciate this. Thanks. And that was just it. Like, that was my interaction. Yeah, and like, because it's one of my favorite kind of core walk up to a celebrity. And because at that point for me, like, Virgil's a fucking celebrity and he's just at my mall.
That's
just
wild.
Hanging out.
That's wild.
Well, it's my favorite thing of, hey, Virgil, can I get you an Orange Julius? are the words that break out in my head.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one of my favorite sort of.
Oh, man.
I associate, and to this day, anytime I see an Orange Julius in my head, I go, hey, Virgil, can I get you an Orange Julius? Oh. And it's a dumb thing to associate, but it is a very sweet memory in my head that anytime I see it, I think of wrestling superstar Virgil and how kind he was to a punk fucking 19-year-old kid awkwardly walking up and being like, hey, I'm not going to buy anything from you, but can I get you juice?
Can I get you something? Yeah.
Right. Can I buy you a smoothie?
And he was probably like, that kid's gonna go
places. I think it was one of those things of like, I didn't necessarily want to spend the $20 on a photo, but I'll spend $6 on a smoothie for Virgil. Like, I'm down with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the one I know is the one where you and I went to C2E2.
Yes.
And C2E2 is a big comic everything schmoz kind of show in Chicago. I think it sounds for like comics, entertainment, and
something.
Chicago Expo.
Yeah, something like that. And it is, like you said, it is kind of a catch-all for all things comics and sci-fi and kind of nerdy, but also Chicago is a big wrestling town. So the pro wrestlers do a ton of signings there. So it is there was actually like a setup, almost murderer's row of fucking pro wrestlers. And at this point now, like at the time, I don't think the lion's share of them were Hall of Famers. But at this point now, I think like of the five of them that were there, three of them are Hall of Famers now. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So we were setting up and we didn't have a lot to do. So Brandon took a walk around just before everybody was setting their shit up. Cause like Phil Chan, Master of Disguise, his setup is very extensive, but he does it by himself. And you're just going to get in the fucking way.
Yeah. Yeah. It is the definition of too many cooks. Cause we ask.
Yeah.
Like, cause I felt awkward. And he's like, no, man, it's okay.
Yeah.
And I realized what he's really trying to tell me is you're going to fuck it up.
Yeah.
Just leave me be.
Yeah. And get it out of my way.
Okay. That, you know what? I respect a dude who knows exactly what he wants. And Phil is very much that guy.
Yeah. So Brandon ended up walking over to like where all the wrestlers were. And there is Virgil.
Well, no. Here's the thing. Virgil was actually off in a different area.
Oh, okay.
So there's the murderer's row that was there that I think was associated loosely because Jerry the King Lawler draws a lot and I think had a partnership with some publisher or something like that. So he was doing sketches. And there were a bunch of other wrestlers at random tables that essentially had like partnerships with not necessarily like Dark Horse, but like the smaller tier publishers of comics and stuff like that, that were doing like one off Mr. Kennedy comics and a Kevin Nash comic or whatever it
funny.
Is. But Virgil is on his own and in an area. And I was just kind of wandering around, but Virgil was there, and Virgil was all like, not quite all set up, but like he was mostly set up, and I had the vendor badge on, and like I walk up because I jokingly, not thinking about the meme, walk up and I tell him, hey, I need to get back to my table at some point soon, and I didn't want to bother you when everybody else is around and there's a rush. And he smiles, stops what he's doing. He's setting up his individual prints and everything else like that he's going to sign, turns around and goes, come on, man. You know I always got time for a fan. Virgil shakes my hand. Nice to meet you. I jokingly tell him the Orange Julius story. He starts laughing. He's like, I don't remember it. And I'm sorry. I was like, no, Virgil, how dare you forget when I bought you an Orange Julius, which immediately, like, he and I are joking around at this point.
That's so
but
cool.
Just reiterating, like, the I really appreciate you and all the effort. And now that I'm doing cons, I understand the grind of the latter half of your life and what you've been getting into. And I just wanted to come over and show you the appreciation that you have, like, genuinely earned in my heart. Something that I didn't do when I was 19, can I please buy a print and can you please sign it for me?
Yes.
And before he did that, he immediately stops and starts telling me a story about how he and Ted DiBiase got high and drunk as fuck with Arsenio Hall and started doing basically like like weird bets of who's gonna do some dumber shit, and like somebody like is threatening to puke into a bucket, and
Virgil's
telling him that like I can throw a playing card into a trash can from across a room, and Arsenio is convinced that he can't do it, and Virgil's like, I can't do it, but we're all high as shit, so I'm convinced I can do this. And Ted is putting thousands down to bet that I can do this, convincing Arsenio that I can do it until Arsenio backs out when Ted says, I bet you $10,000 that Virgil can throw that playing card into that trash can. We get up to the hotel room. You're on the hook for 10 G's. And Arsenio goes, too rich for my blood, man. I believe you.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, to this day,
10 G's.
Right. He's like, to this day, anytime anybody brings up Arsenio Hall, I mention that motherfucker owes me 10 grand. So,
oh, that's so funny.
I was just like, God damn, that dude is fun. And he was honestly like, I was late getting back to the table. I missed the start of the con.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
Because I was just joking around with fucking Virgil.
That's so dope.
At a certain point, I'm like, okay, hang on. I do want to buy something. You've got people coming in. Can I help you finish set up? And he's joking around with me as he's setting up his prints. And he's like, it ain't that big of a deal. And he's telling me about this and that. And, you know, when he's out at like WrestleManias and just genuinely seemed to be enjoying the moment where someone spent the time to go up to him and show him the appreciation. Because at that point, he was an internet meme and I think he knew it. And yeah. I think he was having a rough time with how a lot of wrestling fans can become, they turn the corner from a light rib, which I know every wrestler that I have heard of or dealt with or what have you appreciates a fun rib, to you're just being a hurtful asshole.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that it feels like the last couple years before he stopped going around to the cons, that's basically where it came to, was like, well, Virgil's got a table. No one's fucking there. And like that used to be the thing, is people would snag photos of Virgil's empty table.
Yeah.
And it is a lesson to all of us who are involved in the con circuit or who go to a con, or you're involved in art or entertainment or anything else like that, of don't fucking mock people when they're having a rough time with making it or the grind or anything else like that. That shit hurts down low. I mean, you know, this is a guy who had no reason other than he was excited to talk to somebody who considered themselves a fan. And literally took out time. And honestly, like, and this is a thing where you and I, if we were talking to somebody, we would have told them, hey man, I really appreciate you. Let me finish setting up while we talk. And would have like still paid attention to them, but paid attention to the table. Virgil didn't care about that.
Yeah.
Like he prioritized me over making money for whatever the time was that I was there, and then signed it. And I insisted on, like, I paid extra for it. He told me no. I told him I didn't have change and I wasn't going to wait for him to get change.
Nice.
And he shook my hand again. And all weekend, I passed by Virgil's table. I'd say, Virgil! And he'd wave. And that's my last memory of Virgil. Yeah. And I hope that we all get to meet someone who was, full stop, not my favorite wrestler growing up. Like, he didn't have an opportunity to make enough of an impact. But I always liked seeing him. He always seemed like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he always seemed like he made everyone he was around have a good time and was seemed supportive and always seemed like a solid hand. And I never heard about him injuring anybody or being a pain in the ass or anything else like that.
He worked the gimmicks. He did what he was told. He did
the job. He did it well.
He made other people look better.
Right.
And like, you need those kind of guys.
I think we could all take a lesson in humility from Virgil about accepting a situation and making the best of it. And that we really shouldn't mock people when they're having a rough time, especially like you, especially if they're public, like,
yeah,
if they're a fucking asshole or a monster, whatever it is, you'll never hear me say anything positive like this about Vince McMahon.
No.
Fuck that guy.
No, I hope
he gets cancer of the AIDS, of the gonorrhea, of the eyes, of the asshole, and rots and dies slowly.
We will not spend time to talk about him when he passes.
But that's what I'm talking about. Is like,
yeah.
I'm good with punching up to people who absolutely deserve every bit of vitriol I can put together. But when it comes to people who had a career in the limelight and the opportunities start to fizzle and you start to shift gears and you try and make the best of a situation, you don't need to beat on them. Show the appreciation for the time that they made you happy. Tell them that.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed how much it might make them smile.
Yeah.
And then anytime anyone brings them up, fucking defend them. Every fucking wrestling nerd that has made the joke about Virgil, I've responded with, that dude's the nicest motherfucker I've met in wrestling.
Yeah.
And
how dare you, sir?
No one argues with me. Everybody just kind of gets a little quiet about the dog pile they're about to do.
Yeah.
And I know Virgil's never going to know that, but it mattered to me.
Also, he was on the grind. What are you doing, asshole?
Right. Yeah. But I don't need to throw shade at anybody else in that point. The point that I think I'm really trying to hammer home is show appreciation to the people who made you smile, who still to this day on a long enough grind, especially being in his 70s, not being a piece of shit.
Yeah. Buy him an Orange Julius.
Fucking buy the man an Orange Julius. Jesus.
Yeah.
Like that. That's the lesson more than anything is when you find people, this is the same. So I have the same feeling about Virgil that I had about my brief encounter with Peter Mayhew. Like find those little moments and cherish them very, very deeply because it may be dumb and it may be a fraction in their lives, but that's the whole point is they did a thing that makes you happy. And the least you can do is show them the appreciation back while you have the opportunity to.
Yeah.
Because both of them are no longer with us and that stinks.
Yeah.
Because they had no reason other than they could to be kind to me.
I wish I had gotten over my like intimidation factor and like gone with you like a couple of times just to say, because like when I don't know how other people are when you meet somebody like famous and shit, but I don't want to bother him. Like I see him, but I don't want to bother them. Like if we see him in the green room, it's a different story because they're off the clock and you say, Hey.
But that's the thing is that's the time that I feel like I'm bothering them.
Yeah.
When they're behind the table, they're working like the rest of us.
Yeah.
I got no problem. So long as I'm not taking away from their sales, I got no heat on doing anything like that.
Yeah, I should have gone with you because, man, he sounds like he was awesome.
Yeah, he was just a sweetheart guy. Like, it's just, and that's the thing is there's nothing, I'm trying to think of the best way to word this. There is nothing unnecessarily remarkable about any part of my interaction that would be like, holy fucking shit. But just, he's just a genuinely fucking nice guy. Like, yeah. This is us joking around with Stan Sakai.
Yes, yes.
What a fucking kind sweetheart of a human that man is. Yeah. And watching you be like, dude, that's Stan fucking Sakai. I don't know if he was going to do the thing. I mean, being like, hey, Stan, you want to go do dumb art things with us? It'll be a hell of a lot of fun. And watching you be like, don't fucking tell him. Don't tell him I'm here. If I don't move, he can't fucking see me.
Yeah.
And then you got to fucking draw with Stan. Like,
yeah,
that's fucking great.
Yeah.
But I would have never walked up and talked to Stan had you not have been there and it had been that important to you. And we had the opportunity with Art Fight at the time. And like,
yeah,
I'll make an ass out of myself. I got no problem, especially to do it for a friend. Fuck, that's twice as easy. I'll run into a wall as a gag just to make somebody fucking laugh for a friend. That's fucking simple.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Three years in a row at Katsucon, I got to draw with Joe Chen, who kicked my ass, Frank Cho, who kicked my ass, and Stan Sakai, who just, it was hard not to just sit there and watch him draw the entire time.
I watched you do that two or three times where like you looked over and just was watching him draw because I think you just wanted to see him do it. And meanwhile, he's drawing like, I think it was like a dinosaur and a little cowboy vest and a hat or something like that, if memory serves.
Super dope.
Right, yeah, and it was just adorable, and I just, like, my favorite part about that was you at the end were getting the audience to cheer, and you started shouting, Stan fucking Sakai, as if I realized that you are totally fucking the decibel reader. Like, I don't know who was going to win. You refused mentally to beat Stan Sakai at this. Like, there was no chance that you were going to walk away going, I kick Stan Sakai's ass. Fucking recognize. Put some fucking stank on my name. Time Magazine zone Jamie Noguchi.
Yeah.
But that's probably my most relatable example to you of like the people who did the thing who made you happy, go see them. Yeah. And by the way, this is true of like there's TV stars or whatever. They do a lot of convention signings and all sorts of shit like that. You don't have to do a C2E2 or an awesome con like that is happening this weekend.
Oh, that's right. Oh my gosh.
Right. Like there's a bunch of people going down. My wife's going to go down. She's tabling for the first time, which is going to be fucking rad. But like, there's a ton of, like, there's people from Breaking Bad that are going to be there. There's people from The Mandalorian that are going to be there. Like, that's an opportunity for you. Is it going to cost a lot of money? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. In most cases, it totally will.
Yes.
But don't not have that moment.
Yeah.
Meet the people, see who they are, be near them, have the photo with them, cherish the thing and go, this person that made my world happy when I was knee high to the ground or fucking graying from the temples is now somebody who I have a photo with. And that's something I can hold on forever.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah.
Like a Key West vacation is going to fucking beat it. Well, maybe not Key West. Maybe that's a bad example because the state of Minnesota is going to be there to visit later on. Adam Savage has a shelf life.
Yeah.
Go see Adam.
Yeah.
Thank him for Mythbusters. Show him the dumb prop you made. Take the photo. Then put your ducats together to visit the fucking Twin Cities. Like that's.
Yeah. Get your priorities in straight.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I want to see a Twins game. You can see a fucking Twins game at some point. We can work this out.
Yeah.
Yeah. See the people while you can and enjoy them while you can, because you've been enjoying them for this long. Why wouldn't you do it again? And do it while they're still here.
For sure. Well, Brandon, that's all I wanted to talk about. Like,
yeah,
paying a tribute to Virgil and some of the other people we've met. We are the fucking Do It Cast, part of the Hard Knock Media Podcasting Network. I've decided that we are a slice of life podcast.
Oh, is that what we officially are?
I don't know if that's a category like that you look up, but like we used to have a point, but it's basically you and me talking to each other every week and we turn on the cameras.
It's us catching up. Let's be honest. Yeah. Here.
So we are a slice of life.
Yes. The idea is I want you all to hang out with Jamie and I the way Jamie and I would normally hang out. Hopefully you have a good time. If you don't, do me a favor. Hop in the comments. Tell us to go fuck ourselves and come up with a topic. Or better yet, if you're so fucking smart, you come up with a topic and we'll talk about that instead, you dickhead. By the way, Jamie, where can they email us?
Info@fuckingdoitcast.com.
Have you checked it in two months?
I have. Oh. I have. We've been getting a lot of spam from people like, I've noticed your podcast, blah, 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 blah.
And fuck
like,
yeah.
Other services where like you can sign up and they'll take your ad money and all that kind of stuff.
Are any of them very clearly written by AI? Because I would love for you and I to play a game where we pull the names of people who are in the public sphere out of a hat. And we read these fucking AI generated emails. Do I have a Chris Hemsworth impersonation? I don't know, but I've got a script in front of me. So blimey, let's get into this.
Yeah. Thanks for watching. Thanks for hanging out. And find the people that give you those small moments of joy. And if you can contact them and not be weird about it, like if you send them something on Twitter or Instagram or see them at a show, just don't be weird. Just don't be weird.
Yeah. But just walk up and say hi and tell them you're a fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they'll take care of the rest. They'll set the tone.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
And if they're not the most friendly, that's okay too. They got shit going on.
Yeah.
Not everybody's ready to be on all the time. That's all right.
Yeah. So, find the people. Don't be weird. And
no, be fucking weird. Be real weird. Like, seriously, like walk up to CM Punk and be like, yo, son, you got a good recipe for pasta sauce? Yeah. I usually start with stewed tomatoes, but last week I ran out, so I started with ketchup, and that shit was crazy good.
I do want to see someone do that to Punk.
Hard peps to feel.
Goddamn. What? You trying to tell me there ain't no ZD in fucking Chicago? Fucking tell me the CM don't stand for carbonara made, Punk. Goddamn. Crack an egg. Crack a fucking egg. Motherfucker got imitation bacon bits with his vegetarian ass. Can't have no carbonara.
Oh, man.
Fucking cavatappi made, Punk.
Cavatappi made.
God damn. I knew I'd come up with a different fucking pasta dish. Fucking having myself a Boca de Beppo match is what I'm about to do. Tackle an entire family style meal by myself. I'm going to shut this Olive Garden down. Unlimited soup, salad, and breadsticks for the win. I'm going to test that theory.
The Spaghetti Factory.
Michael Bracco's new multifaceted... No? Oh, no. Is this actually a place?
There's a place called the Spaghetti Factory. I think it was in Seattle where they'd like serve you big portions of pasta. Like,
oh, okay.
Well,
yeah.
We ruined the moment. See you later.
Go hunt down the Spaghetti Factory. Tell Jamie that this place is still real and it exists. And we need to go on an adventure. An adventure across the United States. Why? For pasta. That's why.
To pasta.
Goddamn right. We're going to change Jamie Noguchi's name to Cavatappi Made Punk.
CM Penny, baby. CM Penny.
Angel hair punk.
God damn. Make the meatballs. Be excellent to each other. Hard Knock Media. Fucking go catch it. Hit the button.